Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. And here it is once more and again, Wednesday Night Inspirational Bible Study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And as always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be before you. And I thank God for allowing this opportunity for us to come together and share the Word of God. I want to thank everyone for all of the prayers that you sent up to God on my behalf with the medical condition that I'm going through. I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. I pray that everyone week was well, and I really miss being with you guys on last week. You know, it seemed like I really missed a lot, but I'm so glad that we are able to be together on tonight. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of James. So those who have their Bibles will have to get them. We're going to be in James, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verse. I think it's a good lesson that we need, and God saw fit to put it on my heart. So as always, you know, I need to thank God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and always each and every one of you taking time out of your schedule to show up on Wednesday night. And now it's time for prayer. And as always, if someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open a mic and you could pray. If not, I'm going to go ahead and bring us through to the throne of grace. And after that, I'll play a song. Then we'll come back and get into our lesson. So here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. I have to thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you promised to do. Heavenly Father, we can't make it without you. Heavenly Father, we ask that you teach us how to be obedient to your word, dear God, and understand your will and rely on your way. Heavenly Father, you are our everything. And whenever we realize this, dear God, we'll be in a better place. So help us right now, dear God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon every household right now, every household that has decided to call in. I'm asking that you grant favor and blessings and everything they may be in need of. Holy Spirit, I ask that you illuminate and give revelation through the word that's going to go forth. I realize that it's not about me because I'm only the vessel. But Holy Ghost, have your way with this lesson on tonight. I pray that the people will be edified. Satan will be horrified. And God will be glorified. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. Right now I'm going to play a song, and it's by Smokey Northford. And it's a song that's really true and dear to my heart. The name of the song is I Understand. So I'm going to play the song, and I'll come back, and we'll go into the lesson. Remember, it's James, the 4th chapter, the 13th through the 17th verse. And the title of the lesson tonight is Tomorrow is Not Promised to Anyone. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And the name of this record is I Understand, and it's by Sonny Norfolk.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told me.
Encouragement. When we are going through trials and tribulations and things are going on in our lives, sometimes we feel like we're all alone, and sometimes we feel that God is distant, and sometimes we feel, you know, that there's no way out. But as the song said, we, even when you can't hear God's voice, you trust God's plan. Because God say, yes, I know everything and I do understand. So you can hold on to that. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. I know some months ago, a couple of months ago, I asked you guys to pray for a friend of mine named Kendra, and she had an aneurysm that burst in her head, and it didn't look good, and maybe man didn't think it would be good, and you know, we heard everything what the doctors had to say, but we believed the report of the Lord. And tonight, Kendra just called me on the phone before we went on the program. And the lady that's taking her aunt, that's taking care of us, said they was going to call in. And, you know, Kendra could hear the message tonight. all y'all saints out there, when we bring up someone for prayer and you're going to pray for somebody, believe me, God answers prayers. And that is a blessing, and it's so good. So, Kendra, if you're able to hear, we have been praying for you, and we're going to continue to pray for you that God's plan for your life be achieved. Well, our last lesson tonight, as I said, came from James 4:13-17. The topic of the lesson is, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. Well, as always, I like to give a little introduction about something or someone, and I use James. I don't have a lot for him, about him tonight because we talked about him many times before, but I want you to know that James was the son of Mary and Joseph. Now, Mary, what Mary I'm talking about? I'm talking about Mary, the Virgin Mary, and Joseph, Mary brother, Mary's husband. But James is the son of Mary and Joseph, and therefore that makes him a half-brother of Jesus. You might ask why I say half-brother, because remember, Mary and Joseph had other children, and they were by Mary and Joseph, but Jesus Christ was by God and Mary. So Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, because God, the Father, the Creator, is the father of Jesus. You see, James is a title. It's the author of this Episcopal, and an Episcopal is like a letter. And James is the writer of this epistle, which he wrote somewhat between 50 A.D. and A.D. 60. And you might say, why are you giving us dates tonight? I want you to realize that if Jesus Christ's birth was the beginning of the New Testament, after the Old Testament, the numbers, the dates stopped. And in the New Testament, the new dates begin. So they got A.D. and they got B.C., before Christ, and A.D. is after Christ. So if it was written around 50 or 60 A.D., that means it was written 50 years, between 50 and 60 years after Jesus Christ was born. Now, you got to remember that Jesus Christ, if the numbers started in the beginning, and some of them say it started maybe 2 and 3, but Jesus Christ died at 33 years old. So now you can see where the numbers make sense, what I'm saying. If that was, he was 33, so he died in the year A.D. 33, then this book was written in between 50 and 60 A.D. I was just throwing that in for y'all. James identified himself by name, but simply described himself as a servant of God and of Jesus Christ. His letter deals more with Christian ethics, what I'm saying here. If you want to deal with Christian ethics, go read the book of James. If you're trying to be a better Christian, go read the book of James and see what James said, because his book was about Christian ethics. It was more Christian ethics than Christian theology. You see, its theme is the working out of faith. You know, everybody know James said faith without works is dead. So he's talking about his theme is the working out of faith. He know that works cannot save you. But he's saying because you have faith and you have received the gift of God and you have eternal life, then you should want to work. So work does not save you, but because you're saved, you should want to work. What he talks about is the external evidence. What's the external? External is the outside. The external evidence of internal conversion. Hallelujah. That sounds real good. So when you read James, you'll see that's what he's mostly talking about. What can someone see in your life? What fruit have you produced externally, because what happened to you internally? Praise God. You see, a study of James' life provides some important lessons for us. His conversion gives us testimony to the overwhelming power that came from being a witness of Jesus Christ's resurrection. You see, before Jesus Christ resurrected, James and probably his other brothers They did not believe that he was the Messiah. But when Jesus died on the cross and on the third day he rose, and then he allowed himself to be by certain people, and he met his brother James, and he showed himself unto him, and James turned from being a skeptic to a leader in the church based on his meeting the resurrected Christ. Now that's amazing. James and them lived with Jesus, and you know they didn't see nothing different. They just couldn't tell. You know that's how it is in our lives. Some of you have real greatness in you, and the people around you don't recognize it. You know, and sometimes you may wonder, but it has nothing to do with you. It's just sometimes the people closest to you, it's the ones that can't recognize the greatness in you. They say no man get honored in his own town. And that's part of what happened with Jesus. But oh, when he resurrected and he revealed his resurrected body to his brother, James' life changed. So James, who wrote the book of James in the Bible, is Jesus' brother. And also Jude, the book before the last book, the book before Revelation in the Bible, Jude, is also Jesus' half-brother. So here we go into the lesson. James, I'm going to read the fourth chapter, the 13 and the 14 verse. It say, go to now, ye that say. What's that saying? Go ye now. He said, look, all y'all who go and say all of these things. He's talking to those people. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain. What is he talking about? He's talking about the people who make their plans and say what they're going to do. That's what he's just expressing. And we're going to see it break down a little bit more. He say, go to now, ye that say. He say, y'all who say that, and that's what y'all do, make your plans and say what you're going to do next year, and you're going to start your business, you're going to get rich, and you're going to, he say, I'm talking to you. And 14 say, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little while and then vanish away. So what he's saying now, he's saying, whereas ye know not. He's saying, you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring, less than on next year. And, you know, he's trying to tell you the dangers of making all of these plans and leaving God out. Or making these plans and think you got the power to make it all happen. He said, you don't know what tomorrow brings. He's saying, far as this life is nothing but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanish away. You see, it is good to have goals, but goals can and sometimes disappoint us if we leave God out of the planning. You know, some people will say, well, if God already ordained everything and God already got everything designed from the foundation of the world, then why does it matter? You know, we are taught that we shouldn't leave God out of anything. You see, there's no point in making plans as though God does not exist, because you must realize that the future is in his hand. So if you make all of the plans in your life and all the desires for your children and all the desires for your career and all the desires for your finances, if you are making them with not going to God and sharing with God, you're really acting like he does not exist in the future. Your future is not in his hand. You see, now on the flip side, to live with no motivation or planning is not God's desire for our lives. Making plans that are out of the will of God will not produce the end result that you may be looking for. You see, God has a plan for all of our lives, and it was designed before the foundation of the world. You see, when God created everybody, he gave you a purpose and he had an intent. everybody he created, he gave a purpose and an intent. You see, and for to know that is true, he told the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 and 11, for those who want to turn your Bible, Jeremiah 29 and 11, Jeremiah says, in the book of Jeremiah, because this is not Jeremiah's talking, this is God talking. You know, if you go through the Old Testament, you can see God talking all the time. It says, for I know the plans that I think towards you. And you see what the next thing say if you're looking in your Bible? Said the Lord. That's how I know it's God talking. I'm not that smart. You know, I'm not a genius. But when you read the scripture, if it said the Lord, that means the Lord said it. For I know the plans that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God saying before the foundation of the world, he said, I know what plans I had from you, from your beginning to your end. You see, God has an expected end in mind and an intended purpose for all of us. The Bible teaches against two extremes. You see, someone who never set goals, which is slothfulness, and God says slothfulness is a sin, or others who set goals with no thought of God. The Bible speaks about that. You see, nothing can or will happen unless God allow or produce it. We have to line our goals up with the will of God, which is the word of God, and his will never fails. You know, if you do it God's way, you know, it's one of the hardest things for us to just line ourselves up more and more every day with the word of God, but there is no failure in the word of God. The Bible said that if you study, it's going to produce joy, love, peace. It's going to build you up. It's going to strengthen you up. There's no failure in the word of God because the word of God will never fail. You see, God has created our existence before the foundation of the world, and we must make our plans loosely and allow God's will to be done. Am I telling you not to plan? No, I'm telling you to bring it to Jesus. And then you see when they say make your plans loosely, that's even with your plans you say, like Jesus said, not my will but thy will. Come on now. When Jesus was in a garden of Gethsemane, and it was right before the soldiers came to get him, to take him to be have a trial, and then their plans was to execute him, and Jesus was praying, and Jesus was praying to the Father, and then, you know, Jesus was praying and asked God, could he do it another way? And so plenty of people don't know why Jesus said that, but at that point, Jesus had to take on the sins of the world. He had to feel all of the suffering. That's why they call him the suffering Christ, and he was feeling all of this pain. And because he took the sins of the world upon him, he could no longer fellowship with his Father because sin separates us from God. And as Jesus took on the sins of the world, it separated him from the Father, and he felt the loneliness and he felt the separation, and he didn't like the feeling. So he said, my Father, if you could do this another way, take this cup from me. So if Jesus said, not my will, but thy will, what you think we should say? So when I say make your plans loosely, make your plans. God find delight. God say, I own everything, and everything I have I'm willing to give you. So make your plans. Give him the desires of your heart, but bring him in. Bring him in. Bring him in. You see, we must always remember that God is in total control. We should always say it, if it's God's will, we will do this or that. You know, a lot of times the old people used to say it, and people used to say it more and more, you know, years and stuff ago, that, you know, when they say something, they say, well, I'll see you tomorrow if the Lord say the same. You know, people used to say that. And some people who, you know, maybe under, you know, some people who got a hold of it and they never let it go, they still say it. But, you know, we should always say, if it's God's will, we will do this and that. If we look around in this world today, someone is here today, and a saying used to be, would be gone tomorrow. But in the world, in its fast pace and all of the things that's happening and the wickedness and the sin and everything in the world, we know that someone could be here today and it could also be gone today. You see, plans are made and many times change. You got to be flexible. And if you lining yourself up with the will of God and you know God is in the plan, if it change, so what? Because you know God's going to work it out and God is going to have the last word and nothing that can happen to you can prosper and nothing is over until God say it's over. You see, if we take a look at our lives and here we are today, you know, if we look at our lives today, where we are may not be the intentions that we thought we would be at this time in our lives. And some people may be saying, you know, this is not how I thought it would be. And then there's some that is better than what they could have even imagined. But where we are is where we are. And I promise you, where you are is a good place. Because God is still allowing you to be here. And he hasn't forgotten you, nor will he forsake you, and he'll never leave you. We have to remember in life, everything ain't for everybody. When God designed his world, he needed knew everything that he would need. He needed doctors, he needed lawyers, he needed teachers, he needed sanitation workers, people in the hospital and people in the hotels. God needed it all, and everybody's place is necessary, and everybody's place is good, and everybody's assignment is full of God's grace. You see, we have to trust God, because trusting God is saying that we know that God knows best. God's way is the best way if you understand it. And if you begin to understand it, only then can you begin to enjoy it. You know, what I'm going to tell you right now is some scriptures that show us how we should plan. You see, Matthew 6 and 33 and 34, Matthew's, for those who are changing their Bibles, Matthew 6:33 and 34 said, let us know. This scripture lets us know how we should plan. And the scripture reads, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So what is it saying? Whenever we want something, whenever we making plans, we should seek ye first the kingdom of God. And see what is his will for us at our seasons. You know, God gave us everything. You know, he told us there's seasons and there's nothing new under the sun and it's a time and a place for everything. God had everything in order. We are out of order. God's word is not lax of anything that you'll need to do the way he says for you to do it to get the success. The rest of the scripture says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Hallelujah. For tomorrow shall take thoughts of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, and that scripture is just letting us know that, you know, where you're at today is okay. You know, we are always taught and we read, but yet it's the hardest thing for us to do is to not worry about tomorrow. The scripture said, don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow going to take care of itself. And those, you know, you might be worrying and tomorrow might not even be promised. And it tells us that tomorrow is going to have its own problems. But we have to learn to be blessed in our today. And another scripture that lets us know when and how we should plan. And that scripture is Philippians 4 and 6. Philippians 4 and 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Not some things, but in all things. There's nothing too large and nothing too small for God. Well, I don't like to worry, God. You can't worry, God. God want to know all about your plans. He want to know all your dreams, your aspirations, your expectations. He want to know what you want, and he want to know what pleases you. And he wants to, he already know, but he wants to hear it from you, which is call a relationship, and then pray is communication with him. You know, one of the powerful things in the world is, you know, whenever there's a break in communication, it usually breaks relationships. So communication, we learn, is a good thing, and it's a powerful thing. And God wants you to communicate with him in all things. And you see, there's another scripture that lets us know if we do it God's way, what'll happen. And that scripture is Romans 8 and 28. And if we do it God's way, what's going to happen? You will know that God will cause all things to work together for your good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. You are the call. You answered the call. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if there's anybody on the line who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, the time is now. But if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you answered the call and became the call, and you were called according to his purpose. God worked it all out, y'all. And then he had it printed in the Holy Bible, which he inspired men to write. It's our daily instruction for our daily living. If we do it God's way, you're going to have big success. In the 14th chapter of James 4, chapter 14 says that this life is but a vapor. Here for a little while, and it's going to vanish away. You know, what that scripture is saying, we know that we all are appointed to die. And there's some things certain about death, and I'm going to tell it to you now. We don't know when. We don't even know how. But we do know why. And the why is when sin entered the world in the perfect Garden of Eden, way back in the beginning, man had to die a physical death to receive eternal life. Sin brought death in. God brought Jesus in to give us eternal life. But to receive that eternal life, you have to die this physical death to receive the new life of in eternity. You see, everyone want to go to heaven, but no one is ready to die. The scriptures use the word vapor. And a vapor is defined in the Webster Dictionary as something that is very short-lived. We have to remember that God's time is not equated to our time. No matter how long you live in this, how long you live in this world, it is enough. Because God is a God of enoughness. Hallelujah. We all want what we want, but God knows what's best. Trust him. And, you know, knowing that our time is not God's time, and why, you know, the writer James was able to express this as a vapor to say so short-lived, because 2 Peter 3 and 8 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day." You see, if we keep walking around and putting all our concentration and efforts in this life, which is only short-lived, and the things of this world, which is only temporal, we will miss God's best for our life, which is abundant living here on earth. And even after he gives us the abundant living and all of the joy and all of the peace, you should have that on earth too. You don't have to wait to the other side to get that. If you follow God's plan, which is abundant life on earth. But after all of the abundant life on earth, you still must die. You see, because John 10:10 says, "But the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come," and it's Jesus talking, "I am come that ye might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." The scripture says it. Satan come to destroy. If you fool with the world is a representation of Satan. The world is a representation of flesh. So if you only doing it the world way, you're going to be dealing with the thief that come to steal, kill, and to draw. And they're going to give you some he's going to give you some temporary fixes, and he's going to give you some temporary peace and everything he give you, because the world can only, hallelujah, I just thought of this, the world can only give you things that are temporal, because only what you do for Christ will last. Okay, what are the things of the world? You know, your big house, your lot of money, your big bank account, all of that's going to be temporal. But if you set your sights on all of that and that alone, you will miss God's best for your life. Life is shorter than you think. No matter how many years we live, don't be deceived into thinking that you have a lot of time remaining to live for Christ. You should be really, really, really enjoying your loved ones. You should be taking time to mend those broken relationships. You know, you need to be doing what you know you should do. You should be living for Christ today. You know, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And if we understand God's plan for our life, no matter when this life ends, we would have fulfilled God's plan for our life. And our living would not be in vain. Remember, only what you do for Christ will last. The things that you do for Christ on this earth is going to last through eternity, because when Jesus come back, he say he's coming back with his reward in his hand, and the rewards is going to be for those who did. And according to what you did in this life depends on your reward that Jesus will bring for you. So what you do for Jesus, what you do for Jesus is going to last. What you do for Jesus is going to last all through eternity. But anything that this world produces, anything that this world is about, is only temporal, because it's going to stop right here. It's going to stop when you stop. You know, if you got whatever you got and you stop living, you ain't got it no more. You see, there's a scripture in James, and then we look at the last scripture. Well, we're at the 15th verse right now. And it says, "For what ye ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that." And 16 said, "But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all rejoicing is evil. Dare to him that know to do good and do it not, to him it is sin." You see, what are we talking about? We are not afforded the privilege of speaking as if we have the power to control lives. Remember, we are here today and could be gone today. We should always remember that God is in control and his will shall be done. After saying all of this, let me just say it in a nutshell. Trust God. go with the flow. Your life's going to have twists, turns, adversities. It's never what we go through. It's who we go through it with. And the worst thing in the world is not to die. The worst thing in the world is to die, and your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we should say it the Lord's will, and we shall live and do this or that. You know, he's talking about boasting. That's somebody who get on in 5 years, I'm going to be a millionaire. You know, and they go around in this world and try to do, that's boasting, because how you know you got 5 years? All of the boasting is evil, and we're not afforded the privilege to believe that we have the control. You know, the scripture says if you are boasting, it's all about you and doing, about you and your doing. In 5 years, I'm going to do this. In 3 years, I'm going to do this. When I get old, I'm going to have a lot of money and retire. How many of us know it didn't work out that way? The scripture says if you are boasting, it's all about your doing. And God had nothing to do with it. And that's evil. God has something for all of us to do. And we should plan accordingly. Some people don't read or study the word of God and will never understand the will of God in their lives. See, that's why some people are not don't know the will of God for their life, because they don't study to find out. They're not studying. They're not studying to understand. You know, so what happens? Plenty of these people think the way that they do things is okay. But that's their perception, and it becomes their reality. But it may not line up with the word of God, which is the truth. You see, 2 Timothy 2:15, for those who are writing down or have your Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, we should study to show ourselves approved as workmen in the word of God, so we will not be ashamed and correctly understand the word of truth and God's will. Boasting is not of God. It's a man thing, and it's a world thing. How can you boast when you can't give life? In a scripture with Matthew 6 and 27 says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? That's deep. You know, we tend to think that only doing the other part of the scripture when it says those who know to do good and do it not, to him that is sin. Well, you know, what I have to say about that is we tend to think that only doing wrong is sin. But see, James, as I told you earlier, he talked more practical than theologically, and he's like a book of wisdom, you know, because he's using common sense. We tend to think that only doing wrong is sin, but James lets us know that sin is also not doing that which is right. I hope you get it. You know, some people say, I don't do nothing wrong, but do you do things that's right? You know, James lets us know that sin is also not doing that which is right. You know, there are two kinds of sins that people usually talk about. It's the sin of commission, which is the act of doing wrong. And then there's the sin of omission, which is to know to do good and don't do it. We have to take inventory on ourselves, people. Everybody knows something that's right to do that we could do, but we don't do. You see, it's a sin to lie, but it's also a sin not to tell the truth when it is necessary. Some people have made up their minds that they are not ready to follow Christ all the way. So they don't want to hear what he's saying about certain subjects that they are not ready to give up. They believe that if they don't know, then they won't be held accountable. You see, some people will not go to hell for what they do, but for what they didn't do. Well, you say, what you talking about, Diane? I know a lot of good people who are not Christians. And plenty of them act better than Christians. So they're not necessarily doing things that's wrong. So they won't go to hell for doing stuff wrong. But they never accepted Christ. So all their good deeds is wasted. And they cannot and will not receive the gift of salvation. So these good people who do just good nature by heart, you know somebody in your block, they don't go to church, but they might put your garbage can up. They come and cut the front of your house, your grass, and they be nice to the children. You ain't never saw them go to church. They never confess Christ with you knowing. And they real decent people. But they're not going to go to hell for what they did. They're going to go for what they didn't do. You know, a lot of people have told me over the past and in my past, and you know, they say, you know, well, I believe that since that man do all that stuff good, God's going to take him into heaven. Well, then why did Jesus have to die? See, now you're making it up as you go. God has a master plan, and he's spelled it out in the Word of God. The only way to the Father is through the Son. You have to accept, believe, and confess, and you receive the gift of eternity. So how are we going to turn it around and say, oh, because Mr. James is such a nice man. He treats his wife good. He raised his children good. You know, he's respectable. You know, so he ain't going to hell for what he did. He's going to go for what he didn't do. Because there's only one way, and Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, 2 Peter 2:22 says, for it is better to them to have not known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn from the holy command delivered to them. We as Christians must take our rightful place. There are many things that we could do that plenty of things that we could do that are just the right things to do, yet we turn our backs. You know, the Bible says once you learn and you hear and you receive and you accept, you know, it's better for you to not know than to know and don't do. The Bible says it's better to know to not know and to know and don't do. He says it's just like taking a rope and putting a big boulder on the end of it, and you carry it to the ocean, and you drop that boulder in, and you know you're going to go down, and you know you can't get a loose, and you're going to drown. He said that's how serious it is to know and don't do. You see, someone may be in need, and you could help them, but you don't. You might say, I'm not doing nothing wrong. You know, I ain't got nothing to do with that. But I want to let you know that's a sin. Remember, we are only stewards. Everything belongs to God in the first place, and to whom much is given, much is required. You know, someone could be in need of a word of encouragement. Sometimes people only need a word, and you could give it, but you don't. And then you say, I don't have time. I want to let you know that's sin. Sometimes we make up in our minds, and Satan put this foolishness in your mind that I just don't want to get involved. I don't like all of that holy stuff. I don't want nobody to see me speak about the Word of God. But God said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You see, someone may need a word from God, and you know it, but you don't share it. And that's a sin. And as I close tonight, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is consistently doing his job of guiding us in the things of God. The Holy Ghost is in us, bringing all the Word of God to our memory, telling us to go the right way, telling us to back off, telling us to go forward, telling us to stop, telling us to go. But we have to listen and cooperate. But he's doing his job, guiding us in the things of God. We should be willing to help others as the Holy Ghost leads us. Don't allow the trick of the devil to fool you into thinking that all this stuff is not necessary or that is someone else's responsibility. God wants to use each of us for his will and his glory. That's why we were created in the first place, to give God glory by becoming a living sacrifice. In the old days, they sacrificed bulls and goats, but God wants us to sacrifice ourselves. Can you become a living sacrifice for God? You see, God is waiting to see you work your faith. Every time God allows an opportunity to come to you that you maybe could help somebody, and I'm not saying you could help everybody, and I'm not saying every situation God telling you put your hands in, but you got to be led by the Spirit, and you got to listen to the Holy Ghost, and God say, my sheep will know my voice. But you see, God is waiting to see you work your faith. James also said that faith without work is dead. And we know that work cannot save us, but once we are saved, we should want to work. If I could see your faith, I should be able to see your works. And if I could see your works, that'll let me know you probably have faith. They go together. This life is not as long as it may seem. The scripture says it's only a vapor in the eyes of God. But he has given each one of us enough time to accomplish our purpose for his glory. Make every day count that your living will not be in vain. We begin life with our date of birth, and our life ends with our date of death. And there is a dash in the middle. And I'm going to ask you tonight, what will your dash say about you? Hallelujah. And that's our lesson for tonight. And we have a little time to talk about it. If anybody would like to make a comment, ask for prayer, you know the rules. What you can do is, if anybody would like to say a prayer, ask for a prayer, ask for encouragement, want to expound on a lesson, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic, and you could talk to everybody. You know, sometimes there may be something that you could say that I haven't said. You might could add more to the lesson. Or you might could say, you know, like they when a word go forth and the word amen is said, that means you touch and agree with what was said. That's why some time ago I told y'all, don't be saying amen to everything you hear. If it's not right, don't amen it. Because once you say amen, you're saying you touch and agree with it. So if someone just wanted to say amen, that they agree with the word of God. If anybody would like to say anything, anybody would like to ask anything, anybody would like to maybe even ask for a lesson to be taught on next week, you can press the one button on your phone. And for those who are listening on the internet, for you to be able to come into the studio, you have to dial the number that's on the internet. And once you dial it, you'll come into the studio. And when you come into the studio, you can press the one button, and I could open a mic for you as well. So at this time, and we do have a little time because it's now 8:23, so if someone would like to add any comments or say anything, you can do so at this time by pressing the one on your phone. If nobody would like to say anything or nobody has anything to say, what I can do, because people will begin to leave off the line, is say the prayer of benediction, because there's blessings in a prayer of benediction. And God find pleasure in that, and I don't want you to leave off without that blessing. But I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And I thank each and every one of you that come back week after week after week, you know. And for those who, you know, I have some people that are in their homes and they can't come out, and you know, it was a purpose. One of the purpose of this program was that they could be in the comfort of their home and they could still get the word of God delivered to them. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. That's why this radio station is called Plain and Simple. You know, I'm just I'm just a vessel of God. It has nothing to do with me. As the scripture said earlier, should any man boast. But right now, since no one would like to pray, I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction prayer. And then I'll play some music. And at that time, if anyone would still like to make a comment, you will still have time to make a comment. Because once the music is playing, if I see anyone press the one button, I'll definitely open up the mic for them to give their comments, questions, or concerns. I just want you to tell you guys that God finds favor with you guys. Keep showing up. And you could take the things of God and you could bring it to the bank and you could cash the check because God is faithful. So let us go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, I just want to thank you for another opportunity. Another opportunity to be used by you. Another opportunity that you felt me worthy to go before your people. Lord, I'm asking for blessings. I'm asking for healings. I'm asking for miracles, dear God, because you're a miracle worker. Lord, you know each person that's called in on this line, and you know their needs, you know their thoughts, you know what they are looking for, dear God. But, Lord, I pray right now that you deliver, because you're a deliverer. Lord, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you have done and what you're going to do. Lord, we realize that this life is but a vapor. But, Lord, we ask that you train us and instruct us in a way that we should go. Because you say in your word that it is you that's going to work in us to will and do your good pledges. So I think all we have to do is submit and obey, but teach us, dear God. Guide us and protect us in a way we should go that we may not sin against thee. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. And that's our lesson for tonight. I'm going to play some music. And like I say, if anyone would like to say anything, you still have an opportunity to press the one button on your phone. But God loves you, and so do I. This record is called Justified.
was headed for destruction, God stepped in and he said,
not guilt.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction.
Oh.
Just like Daniel, who was condemned to the lion, did God say,
not guilt.
If it hadn't been for the grace of God, you would have been, you could have been, yeah, listen, hey, to the liar,
not guilt,
to the cheater,
not guilt,
to the deceiver,
not guilt,
even to the believer,
not guilt,
there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, yeah.
You won't just be a hearer, become a doer. God is working on all of us, but we should try to allow God to make our plans and learn to follow them. Remember, God loves you, and so do I. And that's our lesson for tonight. Be blessed, and if it's the Lord's will, we be back together on Wednesday night. Glory be to God. Amen.